Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and tonight we are predicting the Survivor 43 finale, and we are joined by Adam Klein, newly engaged Adam Klein, who really did not go all out with that engagement. I don't know why it was so subtle and subdued, but here he is back for the first time in a while. Actually, I don't think we've had you on for a few seasons now.
Been a hot minute.
Yeah, it has been a little bit. Has it been a few seasons?
It has. I don't think we've had you on since maybe, because I don't know if we had you for 4 years.
After your season.
I mean, I came on and did like a deep dive.
Yeah.
And then is that the last time that I've been on?
I think
that's
so.
Like 2 years ago.
Wow.
Nothing's changed. We're all
happy to have you back.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
You know, I'm always happy to come on.
Well,
what
and
have
we're
you
expecting...
been up to, Adam?
I live in a mobile home. This is my beautiful mobile home. Got some cool Survivor paraphernalia behind me, and of course the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
A good Jew with a Christmas tree. I'm doing casting coaching now. So I really love it. I'm helping people with their audition videos. It's actually a lot of fun. I feel like I actually like, even when people don't end up getting on the show, I feel like it feels good to at least help people put their best foot forward. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people end up feeling like more confident, like they can speak with more passion and conviction and those sorts of things. So it does feel like I love like working very closely with people, and I get to do that every day. So that's nice.
It is. It's pretty interesting, right? Like being able to do that. Cause so many people, they don't know where to even start when they make their casting tape. And a lot of times they just sit down, they talk for 3 minutes, they frustratedly submit it because getting the video to the right, like megabytes or whatever is so frustrating on the CBS website. It's literally the hardest part.
It is. Oh yeah. To get it down to like 50 megabytes or whatever.
Yes.
The advice that's out there is good, right? Like the be yourself and show, don't tell, and like bring personality. All of those things are true, but how to do those things is what I help people with. And that part is really difficult, right? And it's not so simple. You can't just tell somebody like have good energy and then they just automatically like can do it without it being inauthentic. So how to bring that out of people, there's definitely an art to it, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's always interesting, right? Like we had Tiffany on for our last predictions episode, and you find out she was an alternate, right? Like it's so crazy to hear those kinds of stories, because you would think to yourself, how could Tiffany not be a lock? And then on this season, like Carla, Owen, Jesse, they're all huge fans of Survivor who've been trying to get on the show for a long time. And like, whatever their process was, whether they started applying back 10 years ago or they started this season, it's pretty interesting that these people that we end up seeing explode on TV, they're not always first ballot people. They're not getting on the first time they make a video, because a lot of times there is such a learning curve to making those videos.
A lot of times what happens is like someone will get reached out to and then they won't hear anything for the rest of that cycle. And then the following year, or the year after, they'll get reached out to again and then like move a lot further. And I think they just have a Rolodex of people that they've been wanting to put forward for a long time. And so sometimes you just got to start to get in that mix. Mm-hmm. And it may take, like, are they going to put you above somebody who they've been waiting to like put forward for years? So you know what I mean? You kind of got to just like get even. So that's why like a lot of times like 18-year-olds or young people ask like, should I start applying now or should I wait until I have more life experience or whatever? And it's like, go for it now if you want, even if you don't feel like you're totally like ready necessarily, you'll get better at the process the more you do it. And eventually they'll start to like recognize you and remember you. And if you've shown a lot of like growth in your life, that can be a good, you know, story for you or helpful thing for you.
And I remember Alexa and I, we really thought we had it back around season 38, and you haven't seen any of us on your TV, have you, everybody out there? So that tells you. But we also didn't go to Adams. We didn't go through Adams. So maybe that's like the proof that we need. We were feeling confident because we applied so many times, and yet here we still sit, right? We just need to call you.
Well, I would be happy to help you guys. So, you know, let me know if you want to give it another go. And let's get you guys on there. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Maybe so. We could take advantage of the Cyber Monday deal you were talking to us about.
Give the fans a heads up before we dive in.
Alexa, that was good.
How about that?
Wow. Thank you, Alexa. yes, I am running my biggest ever discount at the moment through the end of the – it's the Cyber Monday that never ends, ladies and gentlemen. it goes until January 1st. So,
Cyber Month.
Yeah, Cyber more than a month. last time I did it, and then I like extended it a little bit. I'm like, I'm just gonna keep it going this time. So yeah, if you go on my website, adamklein.com/casting, you'll see I'm offering my biggest discounts on both of my main packages. If anyone who's listening right now is thinking about applying and doesn't know where to start, I can help.
I just looked it up now, and those are discounts. There you go. It's all right. The website's legit, everybody.
It's a Survivor Specialist exclusive discount.
That's it.
Discount code fill in.
When you were on what, RHAP 2 weeks ago, it didn't count. Nope. Cyber Monday hadn't started yet. We didn't count it.
That was a Rob Has a Podcast exclusive discount. This is the Survivor Specialist exclusive discount.
And since we're not as big, everybody gets a better discount, right? That's how it works, something like that. But
yeah, for sure. If you come from this page, it'll automatically populate, you know, the discount.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
Well, let's hear, what are you thinking about season 43 so far?
I am really digging it. I think that it's a fine-tuned version of 41 and 42. I think there were some kinks that they needed to work out, some twists that needed to go by the wayside. And I'm very grateful that Survivor Production has, you know, their ear to the ground a little bit and has listened to some of the things that people were really complaining about, at least, such as the hourglass thing, the do or die twist. I mean, those were the biggest offenders of 41 and 42, and those are gone, thank goodness. So it, even though there's still a lot of advantages and whatnot, it definitely feels a little bit more back to basics. And I think that we're being blessed with additional screen time for relationships and characters, because they don't have to introduce all of these twists every time. They're not doing one every single episode, right? And so there's a little bit more room to breathe. I mean, even in season 40, there was an advantage in basically every single episode. And it's like, mm-hmm. you've got, you know, besides me, one of the best casts in Survivor history, like let them do what they do. You know what I mean? Or at least make it an hour and a half. I know they never wanted to do that, but I'm sure CBS had other ideas.
It would have been nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, especially with The Edge, there was like no time to tell stories on that season. I'm still confused as to what happened after I got voted out. Seriously, I still don't totally understand what happened on season 40.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, just to have some more room to breathe. That's really nice.
And it felt like with 41 and 42, it felt like they, especially with 41, it felt like they were throwing so much at the wall, hoping more would stick, coming off of 40, coming off of a hiatus. Now it's kind of like a rebirth of the show. It seemed like they were throwing a lot out there, and that was coming off of 40, which had fire tokens and Edge of Extinction and 20 players that we wanted to continuously see who were being kept on our TV for every single week with the exception of Sandra. Like, so there was a lot there. It felt like 42, they kind of tried to fix it, but they'd already filmed so much they couldn't fix it. This season, it does feel like we've seen people fishing. We saw people making fun of Ryan for fishing and thinking that was so important. We've seen those relationships develop, and we've seen Cody and Jesse, and that's why last week's episode, I think, worked so much. The edits just really nailed it. And before this goes away, I have to throw it up from Forrest D. Congratulations on your engagement, Adam. Sent $5.
Thank you. Actually,
you can have a big engagement next time, you know?
No better way to celebrate Adam getting engaged than us getting $5.
That's true.
Really, exactly what I love out of that.
I will say, like, so after the engagement, because we had her family come and some of her closest friends, and they were, we went paragliding. And then when she landed, she could see like Marry Me on the beach, and all her friends and family were there. Anyway, after all of that, we went and did a happy hour dinner. I paid, but I took everybody to happy hour. I was like, this is the menu.
And then eat from 5 to 5:30.
We went to my favorite dive bar in the neighborhood, where I don't know how they make money at this place. Drinks are $3.
Incredible.
And I bought out the bar all night for 20 people. We were there from 7 p.m. until midnight. What do you think the total bar tab was?
For $500.
How many people? 20 people, 5 hours?
For 5 hours. And I was the whole next day. It was rough.
Was it over $2,000 or was it less than $1,000? It had to be one of those two, right?
$188 was the bar tab.
So you were there with a bunch of people who drink water and then yourself is pretty much what you're saying.
No, I'm telling you that I found the best bargain in the country for a post. So that $5 would go a long way.
Yeah.
Like, look,
wow. I know where I got to get engaged
amazing,
now.
But I'm like Sandra. A dollar saved is like $10 made in my mind. So,
I love it.
But we still managed to have a beautiful dinner with oysters and poke, but it was all in happy hour. And
well, as
all night,
as you're getting ready to like to move and like get there, if you've never been to Urkel's in Manhattan Beach, go there because you'll find similar deal. All they serve is like beer and well drinks, but then they just give you hot dogs, hamburgers, and chips. That's the only food they serve. Super dive bar in Manhattan Beach.
I love it. Like the place that we went to, I'll just shout it. I don't know why I'm keeping
people just show up.
Who knows?
Yeah, tell
I love
us.
It. And they give you free corn dogs. They bring out free pizza, $1.99 shrimp cocktails. Oh my God.
Got food poisoning. You weren't hungover, right?
I didn't have the shrimp. I did have to try the shrimp cocktail another time, but not that night.
Not that time. Gotcha. What was it called? One more time.
Captain Kino's.
Captain Kino's.
Best, man. Oh my
Incredible.
God.
Incredible.
Yeah, that place is awesome. I love a bargain.
Wow. Yeah, I love how much you love
more $5 and we could go to Captain Kino's and have a whole night out.
I'm telling you. Well, we can at least get 3 shrimp cocktails or 2.5, which is pretty good.
Two and a half orders of shrimp cocktail for that one donation. Come on.
Thank you, Forrest DeGroat, for giving all 3 of us food poisoning the next time. All right, back to – so we were saying more time. For this season, do you agree? Yeah. They figured it out.
Yes, and I think we're on the right track. I love this cast. I think this cast has been so much fun. Overall, it's been a really, really fun season.
Yeah. Well, before we hop into the power rankings and we start talking about how we actually think the jury is going to end up voting here, I just want to update everybody who's been playing, all our $20 patrons who are involved in the power ranking game. I just want to give you guys the quick update. Right now, Alexa is winning with 114, which is how you know that this is a spoiler heavy season, because Alexa wouldn't be winning.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Myself, I have 106, and I'm tied with Alex Trias and Kim Ferguson, who both also have 106. We'll have to think of a tiebreaker for the two of them if they end up finishing tied, because Alexa and I obviously won't win the buff. But this week, you are trying to pick exactly what happens in the top five. If you put Gabler at number one, which we all know he's going to win, if you put him at number one and he gets first place, you get zero for that. That's good. That's what you want. You want to come out of here with zero. You can only lose points this week or get zero. So if you go Gabler, Carla, Cassidy, Jesse, Owen, and that's your one through five, and it finishes that exact way, you get 0 points for that, which is what you want. But let's say you put Owen at number one, you have him winning, he finishes fifth, you get 4 points. You lose 4 points for that, which is what you don't want. So that's what happens with the power ranking game. Right now with the fantasy team game, which the prize is coming from Survivor, Vintage Survivor Store. Forrest DeGroat, who just sent the $5, has 67 points and is leading that. And Kim Ferguson, again, right there in second place with 65. So that one's still wide open.
Oh, well, no wonder Forrest is able to donate that $5. He's rich.
I'm telling you. Right. And he's got Gabler, Cassidy, and Jesse on his fantasy team. That's a hell of a fantasy team.
Oh, he cheated.
He's more spoiled than I am.
He also had Justine. So what does that say?
Oh, that's just to throw us off from, you know.
That's why I said truth or winner pick. Yeah. But that's where we're at with that. So Adam, you know the deal. You've done power rankings with us before and everything like that. So, you know, we'll just argue with each other for the next 40-ish minutes and it'll be great.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
But how does the episode start? Who's going out in fifth, but paint the picture for this first vote out.
Oh, you want me to go first so you can steal my answers?
Typically,
I don't have anything written down, man.
Typically, we're very polite and we like our guests to go first so that we can steal their answers and make them better.
And Phil just said he doesn't have anything written down. So, like, shouldn't you have to lock in your...
There it is. I have my jury roulette written down on here for when I have to argue and defend the fact that Gabler wins 9-0. I have it written right here.
Okay, so... Can I guess what you guys are going to say? I'm going to guess.
That's fun.
This is what everyone has been saying. That Carla's out next.
That is. Go ahead.
What? Were you going to confirm or deny?
I was going
to
say that is.
What do you want us to confirm or deny?
Yeah.
You can do it now if you want.
I just don't trust that you're not now going to steal our answer because it feels like you're trying to feel out whether it should be Carla or not. That's what I'm worried about.
All right. Well, then I'll keep going then since you've written it down.
Well, this is what I will say, though. So Carla
just scribbled some stuff.
I feel like Carla was the lock, right, to be fifth place. And somebody brought up in the recap chat over here, somebody actually mentioned, like, I think it was one of the comments, you're all not mentioning the fact that for Jesse to cut Carla here, it gets rid of a threat, but it doesn't get rid of a fire threat. So does he really want to cut Carla, or should he be cutting somebody like Gabler who can beat him in fire? Now, obviously, I can't pick that because Mike Gabler is joining you next year in Orlando at Hearts of Reality to take that winner's photo with Bob Crowley and Tina Wesson, which, by the way, like, I'm still living vicariously through you when you do that shit. But Gabler is going to be there. So, but I do agree with you that it might not be so obvious that
Carla... What did you text me? That it's the
Gabler Galleon.
The what?
Oh, Gabler Enabler?
The Gabler Enabler. Oh, you're a Gabler Enabler.
Yeah,
that's so funny.
I love a Gabler Enabler.
Okay, so here's should I tell you what I'm thinking for five?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody's thinking Carla, right? Like, it just makes sense. She doesn't have the idol anymore. The whole point of getting rid of the idol was so that you could get rid of her at five because she's been this big threat. However, two things. One, I think that Jesse and Carla have had a very strong relationship throughout that has been potentially minimized by the edit that may be in part due to the fact that they both were in the same class at the same year at Berkeley. I know it's a really big school, But I think that being having that familiarity makes a difference. It's part of the reason why Mari was my number one, right? We both went to Burlingame High School, and no one knew about that. And so that was something that would bond us that only we would know about. So maybe I have no idea, but I'm guessing that maybe that's possible. Cause there was earlier there was a mention where Jesse was like, I feel really good with Carla, but no real explanation. Right. And so we keep seeing them ultimately protect each other. Right. Cause even in this last episode, even though Jesse went against her in a sense and got rid of her idol, she didn't get voted out. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was, I know what was, Cody's plan was to actually eliminate her. So that's one, is I think they have a relationship that's not really fully being shown potentially. But probably more importantly is that two, I think that Jesse probably feels at this point that he has sufficiently minimized her threat level, mm-hmm. right? This was a big move that looked really good for Jesse that was, Carla being left with a little bit of egg on her face, which is what he was trying to do the time before mm-hmm. and failed at doing because she sniffed it out or whatever. Or I guess she didn't actually sniff it out. She still thought that she was getting rid of Sammy, whatever it was. She flipped her vote, right? And now this time it worked. And I think that he probably thinks, and rightfully so, that he can beat her in the end. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that, even though she was at one point a really big threat to win the game, I think the last couple episodes, last couple rounds have not gone as well for her, and she may have a difficult actually argument. I always thought that if she made it to the end, she would win. But after the last couple episodes, I don't necessarily think that anymore. And I think she could actually make the final three and lose.
Before you say your five is Alexa, what do you think about that?
I think that's a good point. I think what's really interesting, like what you said, Adam, Jesse could have taken out Carla and chose not to. And instead, over the past 3 weeks, he has just kind of systematically weakened her, which we've, mm-hmm. I feel like we haven't really seen that before. It's usually just get rid of the person.
It's also something that you want to do to the people that you want to go to the end with, right? You mm-hmm. want them to look bad mm-hmm. in front of the jury, which makes you look better, right?
Yeah, and I think she's still going to seem like the biggest threat because she's still not gone. It's kind of like how Owen, I think Owen is not a threat, but he has been around so long that can make him a threat. So I think the fact that Carla is still there is still going to make people nervous.
But I think there's a little bit of this Xander and Jonathan thing where they originally were seen as big threats, but now the fact that no one's actually bothering to take them out anymore actually lowers their threat level because everyone's yeah, I can beat them at the end. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
And I feel there's a little bit of that happening here with Carla.
So I thought Carla had no chance to win pretty much going into this finale because of what happened last week until I started writing down who do I think the members of the jury would vote for in a final three scenario. And I think what's scary for Jesse right now is if he goes to the end with Carla and Cassidy gets voted out prior to final three, there are three members of the original Coco tribe on the jury. Ryan, no idea who he's going to vote for because he seems like he's just so all over. I could see him voting for Gabler because Gabler caught a fish. I could see him voting for Jesse because Jesse said his fish was tasty. I have no idea what Ryan's going to do. James, I think as hurt as he was and as bothered as he was, might still vote for Carla because especially with how Cody reacted to being blindsided, James might say, okay, I should vote for the person who got me if other people are going to vote for the person who got them. And then
I'll disagree with that, but I'll let you finish.
Yeah. And then Cassidy, I think, would vote for Carla in a final three. So if I'm Jesse and I'm looking at that jury, I don't know what Jesse's relationship was like with Janine. I don't really know. It seems like he's okay with Noelle. Sammy, I'm iffy on if he would go Jesse or Carla. So if I'm Jesse, I still actually do see Carla as a bit of a jury threat, because when there's only eight people on the jury, like we're seeing this season, it might only take four votes, because you could get a 4-3-1 or you could get a 3-3-2. And then you have to worry about, okay, who got third place in a Dom and Wendell type situation and is going to vote for me over somebody else. So it doesn't take as many votes this season, which I think could worry Jesse into saying Carla still needs to go before Owen, who's had no agency the entire game, Gabler, who has all these ideas but hasn't really pulled anything off, and Cassidy, who might be too under the radar, and Jesse has to feel confident that his really out-in-your-face game is stronger than Cassidy's.
So the reason – so I initially thought that Carla was – on purpose, minimizing her threat level by allowing allies to go home, and so that she wouldn't be seen as threatening as someone who has the numbers to do anything to get rid of you and to make herself, you know, seem like a lower threat jury wise as well. I think it went too far when she lost control of that. But because it was her decision, you know, to allow it to happen, like when James went home, but then she sort of lost some agency since then. And I do think that the danger of the strategy that I think she might have been implementing of lowering your own threat level, of allowing your allies to go home, is that you end up losing control because you no longer have those people. And then when you do, the jury's going to say, you did this to yourself. You put yourself in a position where you don't have numbers because you allowed allies to go home. Mm-hmm. And so you can't claim to be an underdog and survive when you intentionally put yourself in that position. Do you know what I mean? If you intentionally lower your threat level and then lose control unintentionally, it's kind of a knock. And so I don't know that it's the same thing as like Cody voting for Jesse, because if Cody votes for Jesse, it's because he maintained control of the end game. If James, I think James has a better argument for not voting for Carla, because it's like, you let me go home and then look what happened. You needed me, and the rest of your game was out of your hands because you lost numbers. So I don't necessarily think it's the same thing. And that's why, as of this last episode, I'm on the side of, I think there's a very good chance that Carla makes the end, but has lost the argument.
Alexa, are you convinced by either of us?
I don't think Carla would get third place if she gets to the end. I think she, so obvious answer, middleman on this. I think like if Cassidy's on the jury, I could see Cassidy voting for her because their rift feels a lot less extreme than the Cody and Jesse rift, even if they shook hands at the end. But I think, I know that like the final third of the game are really like, you know, the last three moves carries so much more weight than the rest of the game. But Carla has a good argument for the first 80%. And there are going to be some people who are okay with that, because somebody like Janine only played with her that long. And I don't know if Janine would vote for her or not, but not everybody has that same kind of in-game context as seeing Carla like kind of slowly lose control of the game.
So my rebuttal to that would be that I think end game always matters way more than,
oh,
I mean,
you, yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, definitely.
Right. I mean, you look at some of the pre, the zero vote finalists that have been on the show who have had really solid pre-merges, even Ken, right? Sherry, right? Like, you know, you think of like the people who looked really strong. Xander looked like he had an absolutely outstanding pre-merge, right? Deshaun, there's a lot of really strong pre-merges that then fall by the wayside because their end games are not strong or not as strong. And then even Cassidy, I don't know if she would get Cassidy's vote for sure, because while they are close and they are friends, it's one thing if your friend comes after you and successfully gets rid of you and then says, this is what I needed to do to win. It's another thing if they've been lying to you, tried to get rid of you, failed to get rid of you, and then lie about that. And then ultimately you get voted out somehow anyway. Do you know what I mean?
I get it. So now here's why I still have Carla at number five. So I do have her at number five. So even though, Adam, I think you're going towards not, and Alexa, I don't know where you're at. That. But I do still have Carla at number five. And my main reason for this is I think Gabler, Cassidy, and Owen all see Carla as a threat to beat them. I think they also see Jesse as a threat to beat them. But we know that Jesse is an idol, so we know Jesse's not going to go home at five. So I think that if they can take a shot, they're going to try to take a shot at Carla. I don't see Cassidy and Gabler and Owen purposefully going after each other in this first vote out unless Carla wins immunity. And then I think they all realize what the pecking order is here, is what I'm trying to say, because we heard them talking about
the obvious target, though.
I think, what'd you say?
You're missing the most obvious target for Owen and Cassidy and Gabler.
Which is Jesse.
Of course.
Yeah.
So who gets to make the decision on who goes home? It's not them.
It's Jesse, but then Jesse. Then who does Jesse vote for in that situation?
That's the only question then.
And right. I think Carla is more threatening to Jesse's game still than Cassidy or Gabler or Owen. I think Jesse is probably sitting there saying, who's the leader of an opposing alliance to me? It was Carla.
I guess all I was saying is that whatever Owen and Gabler and Cassidy think doesn't really matter, because unless you think that Jesse isn't going to be their first target.
Yeah, and I don't know if Jesse would be their first target. I think probably.
You think there's a chance that they don't go for Jesse here?
Well, no, because I think Cassidy has played emotionally. It's going to sound bad, but I think she has played emotionally at times, like when she voted out Ryan. That was who she wanted gone. She really wanted Ryan out of this game. We
but
saw her
strategic as well, because she was not with Ryan and Ryan had tried to vote her out.
Yes, but Carla now doesn't seem like she's with her based on everything that Cassidy is being fed. This last episode, something that was totally overlooked in the last episode because so much focus was on Cody and Jesse at the end. Carla telling Jesse, telling Cassidy, go ask Jesse, and Jesse saying, oh yeah, no, she threw your name under the bus. That's a huge move, and that is just as good as whatever happened at the end of the episode. Because now you're pitting the two of them against each other. Cassidy might be looking strategically, saying, Carla's not going to take me to the end. She thinks if she votes me out, she might get my vote in the final three. She's a threat to beat me in the game. And maybe they're thinking Gabler or Owen can go and beat Jesse and Fire, and Carla can't. I don't know.
I have a hard time imagining them not all being like, well, Jesse's got to go, clearly, right after that move. Yeah, I think Jesse becomes
I would hope. That's a good point. Target. I mean, Alexa, who do you have at five? Because I'm going to let Adam go last.
Well, I think Jesse decides who goes home this week. I think I do think people are going to try to go for Jesse, because I know you're not supposed to believe everything that you read afterwards, but it sounds like Cody was actually in a pretty good position to win. So he was gone. Carla probably also was in a good position when Carla is weakened. I think naturally they're going to go for Jesse, because Gabler and Owen have sort of been this band of misfits. Cassidy and Carla are separated. So either Cassidy's going to go to Owen and Gabler, or Carla's going to go to Owen and Gabler. TLDR, I think Jesse decides who goes home. And so I've been deciding on which of the remaining four that's going to be. And I'm kind of half doing this just to not put Carla at five. I think I would put Cassidy at five. I think I could see Jesse saying that Cassidy is playing a very different game than him. And I know that was sort of Gabler's pitch during that episode. Like, Gabler, Cassidy, Jesse are all playing very different games. But I think Jesse might see that as a bad thing. Like, people might like her play more than mine. They might like her personality more than mine. They're so different that it would be you have to pick Cassidy over Jesse. I'll put Cassidy at 5. I was kind of also trying to decide who's going to win immunity, but everyone except for Jesse has won an individual immunity or 2. I think Gabler's the only one who hasn't won twice. So I feel like I can't even factor that into the equation.
Yeah, immunity has been a crapshoot this season in a good way. It's been
it's been a really good way.
Now, Alexa, you put Cassie at 5, and Adam, we're about to get to your 5, but we really got to keep building this suspense. only people who go for your Cyber Monday deal will get to hear your number 5. That's the deal here. So we're going to black out the next 5 seconds for whoever, except for those people. But what I think is interesting about Cassidy, if you look at Jesse's game and what he's done, Owen has been at Jesse's mercy the entire second half of the game, right? Like, even though it might not be Jesse's mercy, Owen hasn't been able to do anything himself. He's been told by people. Jesse is an easy argument for why he beats Owen. Gabler, I think same thing. Gabler's had some good ideas, but Gabler will, I think, if he gets to the end against Jesse and doesn't try to take a move, make a move against Jesse, could be kind of seen as the Troyzan, right? You were just with us. That's all you did. You just kept voting that way. Gabler, you had all these ideas and you never did anything. And he's spoken out about who he wants to vote out to a lot of people. He just hasn't acted. And then you have Carla, who it's clear as day. Jesse owned Carla at this last tribal council. That is an easy argument for why he should beat Carla. What is his easy argument for beating Cassidy right now, aside from lying to Cassidy about Carla doing whatever, when really he's not lying? What is his argument for, if he's sitting next to Cassidy and that's his biggest competition, what's his argument? So maybe that is his biggest threat right now.
So should I say my 5?
Do it, Adam.
Cassidy.
So you copied Alexa.
Copied me.
and what you just said. I mean, I think that Jesse would only be afraid of Cassidy beating him at this point, most likely. I think he probably used to fear Carla, but probably doesn't anymore. And I think that he's going to see Cassidy as not only somebody who could potentially get votes at the end, but also somebody that could potentially win immunity at Final Four and that could potentially win fire at Final Four. So, you know, I think there's an argument here for Gabler as well. I think you could definitely make the argument that if you're trying to target somebody who seems like at least they would be good at fire, somebody who is like a super outdoorsy guy who like lives in camo, you would, I mean, we haven't seen any like explicit evidence of this, but like you would have to imagine that like with all his outdoors experience and that sort of thing, that Gabler might be good at fire. And if you're Jesse, you obviously have to be concerned about people's fire making abilities. And so I think it's probably one of those two. And I'm going to go with Cassidy because I know Phil's going to like this. I think that there is still a chance that Gabler is the winner of this season.
There it is.
I think right now Cassidy is the red herring for this season. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like she has gotten such a spike post-merge. Her pre-merge even wasn't as bad as people made it out to seem. Her pre-merge wasn't any worse than anybody else on her tribe except Carla. Like, she had a pretty good edit considering they only went to those 2 tribals. First 2 episodes, she didn't really have anything. Her first 3 episodes. But in the first 3 episodes, her tribe was non-existent. They didn't do anything. So, of course, she's picked up. She's won immunities. She's an underdog. She's likable. She's a Survivor fan. She's a part of the community. It's so easy to root for her.
She's been on the right side of a lot of votes.
Right side of a lot of votes. She seems like she's a step ahead, even though she really hasn't done. She hasn't been the driving force behind any votes.
She's avoided getting, like, people go for her and then they get out, which is big.
Like, for sure.
Chrissy Hoffbeck, Kelly Wigglesworth, what do they have in common? They just wouldn't lose near the end. And
yeah,
they got second place. So where's Cassidy really going to finish on this season?
I think the thing about, so I have seen so much edgic speculation and that sort of thing for weeks that like Cassidy is going to be the winner.
But I saw it was all Cody before he got voted out.
Yeah, but I see a lot of it with Cassidy. And I've never fully understood it from a storytelling point of view. This has nothing to do with the game that Cassidy's playing. She very well, like, in real time, could be in a very good position to win if she makes it to the end. But based on the show that we've been watching, you know, everybody talks about, oh, she had a winner confessional with, like, she said she was going to be the fox or whatever. But, like, when you and they're like, it's just like Marianne and Erica, because they got quieter edits as well. But when you think about even Erica's story, her story was the lamb to lion, right? Mm. In order as part of telling that story, a lamb is going to be quiet, right? And unassuming. And then the lion is going to pop out at the end and win the game. And that started to happen at the very end, the last two episodes before the finale. You saw Erica really come to life as this lion, and the narrative was there. Even though she had a really quiet edit, it was there if you looked closely enough at the course of the entire season. Mm-hmm. With Cassidy, it was introduced, right? We see this fox thing. It almost feels like they want us to think this is Erica, because the fox thing sounds very similar to the lamb to lion thing, right? But ultimately, have we seen that come to fruition? Where is the rest of the fox story? Mm-hmm. Are you saying it's all going to come up in the finale? No, that's not how this works. You know what I mean? Like, when has the fox story come back at any point in the last couple episodes? It hasn't. Her edit has been, there's not a story there. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I think that she does have a story to win. I do think she has a story to win. I just think that what I agree with about with what you're saying is the story that they wanted us to watch with her isn't the story we're getting. I feel like her edit has picked up enough where if she won, it would be a satisfying winner. But I feel ultimately
what's
she's
a big story if she wins.
She's probably going to end up more like these three people right here.
Victoria, season 38, Lauren, season 38, Lauren, season 39. Every time people are high on these archetypes, she won't win.
And I feel like that's where she's going to land because she doesn't have the end game. But go ahead, Alexa.
I think from an edit perspective, I'm not 100% sure if this is true, but I swore I saw this in confessional charts today. She has had a worse edit than Erica or Marianne. So I wouldn't find...
In terms of winner story, I definitely agree.
And in terms of amount, I want Cassidy to win because I like her. I would find her an extremely unsatisfying winner. And that is a shame. That is a shame on everyone but her, if that's what happens.
Right.
My counter to the Fox thing, because she said it once and then we didn't get a follow-up versus Erica. We got a few. Okay, I'm still trying to be a lion. I guess Erica being a lion, I never got like a huge sense of her like turning into a lion other than her winning. So maybe with Cassidy it'll be the kind of the same thing, but it's also that's the type of player Erica was. Like Erica being a lion versus Tony being a lion are going to sound a
little. Do you guys remember what was the episode right before the finale last time? I definitely remember going into the finale thinking, wow, Erica is actually going to win this. Do you remember who went out right before the finale?
Yeah, Danny.
It was Danny?
Danny was six, and then Ricard made finale. We knew Ricard was going to be targeted right off the bat. This was for 41. Heather had no shot. Xander had no shot, and Deshaun really didn't have a shot. So once Danny went...
And was Erica a big part of that Danny move?
I can't remember.
It's been
a while. I hate
a bad group of people.
41. I will scream it from the mountaintops. I hate season 41.
You hate it?
Hate it. Hate it. Like down there with One World and Redemption Island. Garbage.
Why?
Because it is...
Bad intro to a lot of twists.
That's it. The twist, fair it was enough. The first time ever that you said on Survivor, winning doesn't matter. And that ruins the game of Survivor. That ruins it. Season 42 got a get out of jail free because it was already there. But Alexa, to your point there, I just want to bring this up really, really quick. So right now, Cass does have a worst per episode confessional average than Erica did. But Erica had 13 confessionals in the final episode, which is why her average shot way up. So Cass actually has more confessionals going into the finale than Erica did going into the finale. As far as Marianne is concerned, going into the finale, Marianne had 37. Cass currently has 30. Erica ended with 39. So I think if Cassie were to win, she'd end up smack in the middle there, probably around where Parvati Shallow ended up, which I think was like 42 or 43. But there's more than confessionals, right? It's more than just the number. I think the content is there for a Cass win, but I agree with Adam that the story we were told at the beginning isn't the story that we're still being told about her.
Correct. And that matters. Mm-hmm. There has to be a complete narrative to the winner's story, which is why I still think that Mr. Alec Gabler has a chance. The story is there.
Who's losing the fire making challenge?
Okay, can I go? It's tougher for me.
Let me go first, because I'm going to preface this with saying, if I wasn't losing to Alexa, this is not the power rankings I would put. But I play to win. So
I know.
Going...
I'm adjusting these to try to stay winning.
I'm going ham here, okay? So I believe that Jesse is the winner of this season. But for this power ranking game and the fact that I want to beat Alexa and I want to beat Alex Trias, who beat me last week in the finale by 1 point, or last season by 1 point, I'm going to put Jesse at 4. Because everything that comes after, if Jesse makes the final three, there's no way he's going to lose, in my opinion. So I have to put him at 4. I have to get him out before final three. And I'm giving us the Bob, Susie, Sugar final three that we all wanted of Owen and Cassidy and Gabler. And it's going to work out just like that one did. But that's where I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say Jesse at 4. I could make an argument for it, but I feel that it's really not super necessary because they'd see him as a threat. Gabler, Cassidy, or Owen win immunity, which is very possible. If any of them win, I think they throw Gabler up against Jesse. I think even Owen could beat Jesse, being such a fan that Owen is. I think he probably was practicing. I'm not saying Jesse wasn't, but I could see Jesse being a Rick Devins. Gabler's edit's been pretty amazing for somebody who really doesn't fit all the check marks for a fan favorite right now. His edit's been pretty damn good. So I think I can still make an argument for him, but I'll put Jesse at 4 just for the sake of this game, and then I'll let you two actually give reasonable solutions here to who's going to lose fire and how it's going to go down.
I spent that whole conversation trying to figure out who's Susie, who's Sugar, and who's Bob out of that hodgepodge of three. Yeah, this is a little tough with the fire-making loser. You have to assume that Gabler wouldn't lose, but that's strictly based on like the fact that he lives in Idaho and wears camo, if I'm going to be dead honest with myself. I don't know why Owen would be in the fire-making challenge unless he wins immunity and gives it up to try to give himself some something.
It's almost like that's what Adam's thinking.
It's almost as bad, that's what Adam's thinking. I guess I'm gonna put Carla at the fire making loser. I never thought that I was going to do that, but I think it would be a really interesting ending if Jesse spends all this time like trying to whittle her game down, and then she goes out because of something completely different. But I think out of the four of them, in terms of like who I am making a strict assumption on, if they would make fire or not, if we've seen them make fire, if they've talked about making fire, I think Carla is the one who has gotten the least amount of content around that. And I think she has enough of that. Like everyone's a big fan of her. She's a really big player, and it's a little bit of the fallen angel kind of thing where like, this is how she would go out. I'm going to put Carla at 4. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
Fallen Angel does fit Carla, though. I do feel that I'm looking at confessionals because I just have them in front of me. But Jesse has 50, Carla has 45. They have the two most by a lot out of the final five. Carla has been such a popular figure on this season and hasn't been – I think the problem with Carla's edit for her to actually make final three and lose, unless it's to Jesse, so there is always that – but I think the problem with her is we haven't been shown anything that's like egregiously a mistake by Carla. Last week you could say that, but to a casual viewer, my parents weren't sitting there saying, oh, Carla got screwed there. My parents were saying, Jesse's great.
Yeah.
End sentence. I feel like we would have seen Carla implode a little bit more, a la even like Brad way back in 34. Like we really saw him implode at some point. So I don't know. I just feel like we would have seen a little bit more if she made it to Final Three and then lost.
I think the hints are there. I think in the last episode, they showed, or the one before it, I don't remember exactly. They showed them saying, Carla sniffed it out. And then they showed her vote, proving that she did not
sniff it out. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That she thought that if she didn't change her vote, that she could have gotten Cassidy out and saved Sammy.
There's this too, though. Sorry, I'm listening to you. I just saw this. This is an interesting one too. Carla has bum hands, so she'd probably be worse at fire.
Right, which is part of the reason why I think Jesse's going to want to keep her in at five.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
part of the reason why I think he's going to find her not as threatening. But I think in the last, you're right that in the over the long run of the season, Carla has been seen as the threat to win, and I would have said that until this week, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But the hints have been there in the last couple episodes that she has been shown to be incorrect, shown to be, you know, out of the loop. And I think showing that confessional was a really clear hint that she may not be aware of exactly what's going on in the game. And that is what a final tribal council, you know, someone who doesn't win at final tribal council looks like. So she's been a big enough character that, like, I think it would make sense that she's at the final three. I've always just wondered, how does she get to the final three with Jesse? How do they not go after each other or whatever? But now I see it. Now I get why.
No.
Should I do mine?
I was about to say, go ahead, Adam.
Okay. So this one is really tough for me because while I think that Gabler has a chance to win, I think that Jesse is the most likely winner. I just think Gabler's in there with a shot. But if I'm trying to get the most number of points, do I put Gabler second?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I got to strategize my power rankings a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You want to come out of here with a zero. You want to get it like smack on, but then also you don't want to be coming out of here with like 7-8 points going, what the hell happened?
And if I'm off by one, like I still feel pretty good about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't want to put Gabler at four if he ends up being one. That would be a disaster.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Yeah.
Okay. And then so this is tough for me for a number of reasons. I also personally am rooting for Owen. I want to see an Owen win because, first of all, I just loved watching Owen on the show. But really, more importantly than that, I have known Owen, like I've been I've never met him, but I've been in communication with him since 2017 when he was trying to get on the show, and he's had a long journey. He's a massive fan. And I just think this would be an incredible underdog story. And I want, you know, my friend to get $1 million. So
we wanted to rain. We wanted to rain candy too on Christmas Day, but guess what? Ain't going to happen.
So all that being said, I got to pick somebody. And I think that there was something in the preview about Owen being pissed off about something. So my guess is what that is him coming back after Jesse takes the football once again at Final Five, that he thinks, okay, boom, we're going to get Jesse out. Like, this is the big move. I'm finally going to be like doing a move myself. And then of course, Jesse has the idol, votes out Cassidy or whoever. He comes back again. He's like, are you kidding me? How is this happening again? What is going on? How did I get blindsided tribal council again? I'm only one vote. Like there's only one round away. Like how the hell am I going to win this game? I have to, because I know he's like, he thinks like me, like a super fan. Like he went out there to win this game, not to come in second, not to come in third. Owen is not there for that. So I have to imagine that he is going to be fired up to make one final big move to try to do whatever it takes to win this game. And I hope that it works. If it works, he's going to win and my power ranking is going to be wrong. And I'll be totally fine with that. But let's say he wins immunity at Final Four, what Alexa was hinting at. I say he wins immunity. he puts himself into fire making to take
against Jesse, right?
Take out Jesse.
Yeah.
You got to do it. If you're ever going to have a shot to win, if you, he, even in the preview for this episode, he's like, I have not been able to take control of this game, right? This is the last chance. You do this and you go to final three with Gabler and Carla. You got a shot, maybe.
And we literally saw this work four seasons ago, whatever it was, in season 38, where we had a player who didn't play for 23 days, but they made one move and it worked. And it almost ruined Winners at War with Natalie because she came in and it really did. It almost ruined it. And that would have been a travesty. And I still have nightmares about that.
And I wakes up in a sweat.
But no matter what happens here,
but he could do
Owen's it. Legacy gets cemented as somebody who went down absolutely swinging. Mm-hmm. And no matter how many times they took the football, he still tried to get it back. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm going to put Owen at number four. And I'm going to say he wins immunity. He puts himself into fire. He takes one big, massive swing. And once again, the football.
He follows the Adam Klein, I'm going to try to pick up the Florida Lee. Huh? Yes. Like that's where Owen is going.
A beautiful tragedy.
A beautiful tragedy where he did everything he possibly could and can go out with his head held high.
Yeah.
Dang.
So I'm putting Owen at a beautiful final four.
I hope he gets that kind of moment because he has, you know, I look at Romeo, right? Romeo had a sad, even though Romeo was a zero vote finalist, final three, he had a satisfying conclusion to a miserable story, right? He went out, he won at final four. He proved it to himself. All of that. That was huge.
Had a great final tribal.
And a great final tribal. Exactly. Yeah. Owen hasn't had that shot to really do it for himself, do it for the fan base. I feel like it's been overlooked how much of a fan Owen is because of Jesse, because of Carla, because of Cassidy, who are big fans. And they all just seem to be more easily received by the audience because they're doing things. They have control. Owen's just been spiraling the entire time. George Clooney in Gravity when she just pushes him out. That's literally what's happening here. It's terrible.
But how, I mean, how beautiful would that be for him to get, at Final Five, blindsided once again, and then be like, I have to do something about this, actually gets the chance, actually does it. Mm-hmm. And if he wins, maybe there's an argument.
Yeah. Especially if he's sitting next to Cassidy and Gabler. And I think even Carla.
Or Carla and Gabler, which is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I will just, I'll spoil my three because obviously with my final three, I have Gabler, Cassidy, and Owen. So for my third place finisher, that scene you're talking about, Adam, I think for the first time in Survivor history, we see the day after Final Tribal Council and it's Owen somehow back on that beach, kicking his bag, being so frustrated that he was just a zero vote finalist. And I sit there and pretend he was happy. So I have Owen at number three. I have him as the zero vote finalist. Although I will say this, if he gets to final three, I could see Sammy or somebody throwing him a bone. I really could see him at least getting one vote. And we could be in a situation where everybody in this final three gets a vote. Now, if Jesse gets there, we're looking at an Adam type situation where it's just going to be a landslide, I think, no matter who he sits next to. But I think if it's this Owen, Cassidy, Gabler, I think Owen just doesn't have enough. And I think the fact that if he goes with Gabler, which Gabler wants to get the final three with Owen, he's mentioned this massive plan to get the final three with Owen so many times throughout the season. If Gabler gets there, I think he has a better chance of getting votes, especially if Jesse's not there. I think Cody could vote for him. I think Sammy could vote for him. I think you could see James and Ryan vote for him. I think there are so many people. I think Jesse would vote for him over Owen and Cassidy. I think there are so many people that would vote for Gabler if he gets there and isn't with Jesse. And that's why I keep saying going into this finale, I think he has Gabler has the second best chance of winning. So there's my whole spoiler. It's Gabler 1, Cassidy 2, Owen 3. But I think Gabler has the second best chance of winning and would beat Cassidy because if you look at the jury in the scenarios where Gabler or Cassidy can actually win, which means Jesse's not there, Jesse's going to vote for Gabler. Cody's probably going to vote for Gabler. Like I said, Sammy probably voting for Gabler. I just think that Jesse and all of them, they've since the pre-merge, positive things have been said about Gabler by everybody else, not negative things. And I think that's huge. There are two people on this season who have had a confessional in every single episode, Jesse and Mike Gabler. That is crazy. So I have Gabler at one. I have Cassidy at two. I think she's got more. I think Cassidy's got more of the Courtney Yates at it. We all love her. She's great. There's no way she's winning the game, but she fits in. And then I have Owen finishing as the zero vote finalist and getting his day 27 all by himself, where the cameramen just follow him around while he destroys things.
That's the best prediction yet. I'll keep your suspense, Adam. I have a similar final three. It's Gabler, Owen, and Jesse. I agree. I think Owen is the zero vote final, maybe not even zero vote finals. He is a third place finisher. I think that moment that we were talking about with him having that moment at the fire, I think we have seen him. He's so excited when he wins that individual immunity. He's so excited when he gets his letter from his girlfriend, also named Sammy, which has not been commented on enough. She's saying, you got to win immunity. You got to do this. And he's like, I did this. He's here to win. He's also getting the experience. And I see him getting to that final and having a similar situation of Romeo, where he has an unbelievable speech and really gives it his all. But the votes just aren't there, partly because Gabler and Owen have been in some very convoluted form of lockstep all game. But Gabler has saved Owen a handful of times. So any argument that Owen is going to make, Gabler can say, I'm the one who told you that, or I'm the one who was able to help you out there. I had this plan to get to the final three and I brought you here. Jesse is there and kicks everybody's butt. So it's probably like maybe Gabler gets two, Owen gets one, Jesse gets, like, I would hope that Gabler and Owen don't get zero, but I could see that happening with Jesse.
Now, I think the way that Adams is shaping up, and Alexa, yours too, I probably would have had Cassidy. I'd probably have Cassidy, Jesse, and Gabler being the final three and Owen kind of being fourth. So I'm like in between what the two of you were thinking. If I was doing like my like real freaking like Jesse, boom, boom, boom. Is there an argument for anybody to beat Jesse, Adam? And I know, cause you're about to do your final three. But is there an argument for anybody to beat Jesse?
No.
Okay.
Emphatically, no.
Yeah. I think that should
Jesse
be a conversation.
If in the final three, I think he sweeps the jury completely. And I think you have potentially the first perfect game since whatever the last perfect game was.
Well, it was you. You, right?
No, I didn't. I got voted for. Jesse's never.
Yeah, but you played a perfect game, Adam.
Earl? Is it Earl?
Or JT, or I don't know.
Wasn't it Jeremy? I thought it was Jeremy in 31.
Jeremy was voted for, I think.
Was he?
I don't know.
Anyways.
Go to the chat for this one. But I just think that he's going to sweep. I think people are going to say, like, you controlled everything the whole way through. Like, we don't like what you did to us, but like, I got to give it to you. You know what I mean? And he's going to articulate that everything he did was for his own family. And I think, and he's going to feed their egos and he's going to say, Cody, I couldn't sit next to you at the end, you know? And I think he gets all the votes. So if Jesse makes final three, he's in the number one spot. The big question is if. He either comes in fourth place or he comes in first place, and there's nothing in between. If he comes in fourth place, it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
So let me ask you both this, and actually, Adam, real quick, who would you put it to? Who would you put it three?
Yeah.
Just for the sake of that, and then I have a question for both of you.
So I'm putting Jesse at one, and then I'm going to put the biggest surprise to me. I know I've been saying it the whole time tonight, but like up until this week, I would never have predicted saying this, but I'm going to put Carla at three. I think, it's been tough. even though she played a really strong game early on. And I'm not putting Gabler at two necessarily because I think he gets more votes than Carla. I don't. I'm putting him at two because if Jesse does lose and come in fourth, I think the person who has the most complete story besides Jesse, when you look back and you say, what was the story of the season and how did this person win? The person with the most complete narrative is somehow Mike Gabler.
So that was going to be my question, was if Jesse doesn't get there, say Jesse gets fourth. Now you pretty much answered it, but Alexa, who do you think would win if Jesse doesn't get there? Are you a Gabler enabler? Are you on the Gabler galleon? Are you all of those fun things? Or do you think it would be Cass or Carla or Owen?
I'm happily steering the Gabler galleon. Mm. I do not think Owen has a chance to win in any combination. I think Cassidy could maybe beat Gabler and Carla if she has a really good final tribal. But I am not sure on it. So I don't think he would confidently beat them. I feel pretty 50-50 on them.
I'm not even necessarily looking at like who is the jury, like the necessarily like the numbers on the jury or whatever. I'm just saying from a story perspective, mm-hmm. whose story has been told? And to me, the reason why I can imagine a Gabler win, just like the inverse of why I couldn't imagine a Cassidy win, is because the story has always been there. And it's being said again in this episode for the third time in a row. I saw it in the preview. Hiding in plain sight. Mm-hmm. That is his lamb to lion. Yeah. It's that you think that I'm a crazy nut job, old person, wackadoo, right? And because of that, I can use that to my advantage, openly target people, openly say, I want Ellie to go home in front of everybody. You guys are going to do it because it's somebody else's name. It was my plan. Mm-hmm. I was the one that brought it up. And afterwards, normally, when somebody makes their plan happen, just like what's going to happen to Jesse here, where they're all going to target him because he got what he wanted and now he's a bigger threat. Every time Gabler gets what he wants,
he disappears.
Gabler's right back in. And
the Gabler's attacking the Gabler galleon. That's my favorite.
He comes up to attack very boldly, very loud. Mm-hmm. Alligator attack right in your face, chomps Ellie's head off, and then's like,
sorry, guys. Yeah.
Right back into the water. And because they think he's this old crazy guy or whatever, and they think, oh, we'll just beat him at the end, they're not paying attention to the fact that he's actually made some moves and hasn't taken any heat for it. And he's aware of it. That is the key point. You look at his confessionals and you hear him every episode saying, I'm making moves. They just don't seem to want to look at me. That's his story.
Yeah.
And that's a knock on everybody else for just assuming that because he looks kind of crazy and maybe acts a little crazy and he's a little older and whatever, they think he's another Philip Shepherd, but he's not. He's got a level of awareness that I think he would be able to articulate at the end.
So just to draw parallels, because I think it's fun, even when they're totally mindless, useless parallels, right? Like they're mindless, they're useless, but I think they're fun. Going into the finale of season 41, Deshaun had 47 confessionals. He was the leader going into the finale. He ended up losing to Erica, who going into the finale only had 26 confessionals. She had the second least going into the finale, right? 26, he had 47. Deshaun goes on to lose to her in the final. Like, so actually gets there. Season 42, Mike had 50 confessionals going into the finale, which was the most of anybody. Marianne had 37. Marianne beats Mike, right? Mike ends up with 57. Marianne ends up with 48. But we see a big episode from Marianne in the finale. This season, Jesse has 50. Gabler has 36. So it is not out of the question for the person who has been dominating screen time or dominating in the other season. I don't feel like Mike dominated nearly as much as Jesse is this season, but it's not out of the question for that person whose story it has felt like the entire time to ultimately lose at Final Tribal. The one thing, though, that I will say for Jesse that's working in his favor that wasn't working in the favor of others, I think we can all pretty much say Deshaun was a bigger part of that season in terms of the storylines than Erica was so focal with the Black Alliance and everything like that. That was huge. The next season, Mike was a huge personality early on. Marianne started to pick up later. Jesse's not more entertaining than Gabler. So for them to be giving Jesse so much content, I feel like it's much more purposeful because he's not like this larger than life, gigantic personality like we saw from Cody or Gabler.
But strategically, he's been playing a savage game from the very beginning of the show. And I don't think there's any way to edit around that. Like,
that's true.
He has eliminated systematically his entire tribe, who he was close with. He had the best relationships on his tribe, better than anybody. And yet those are all the people that he voted out. Mm-hmm. So he's played one of the most savage games in the history of this show. And so even though he may not be as big of a character, he was always going to be a big presence on this season.
Well,
the Allie Gabler.
The Allie Gabler. It's either Jesse or the Allie Gabler. That's where we're all at right now.
I'm hoping that it can also be Owen, but I don't necessarily see the story there as much. I mean, I'm not giving up hope just yet. But from a story perspective, Jesse's story has clearly been told, but it would be told regardless. Gabler's is more interesting because it didn't need to be told. Mm-hmm. So what are they trying to tell us with that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I feel. It's Michelle Fitzgerald. Mike Gabler and Michelle Fitzgerald are the same person, same player, same thing. That's it.
Couldn't have more similarities, if I'm being honest.
Okay, and you know what? People are as tired of me talking about Mike Gabler as they were of me talking about Michelle back in season 32. So it's great. I have officially pissed off so much of this chat by saying how Gabler's
going to win. We're so crazy to be talking about like a potential Gabler.
I'm so excited about it.
I think it's all a moot point.
If it happens, you got to clip this and, you know.
Oh, my God. If it happens, the only person – I'm going to start my own thing, philwood.com/casting, and say the only person to correctly predict Michelle Fitzgerald and Mike Gabler to win. And I'm just going to – now let me predict that you're gonna win. You just have to get on. I don't know how you're actually going to get on because I can't help with that. But, you know, whatever. I'm just stealing Adam's idea. And
I can help with that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually philwood.com/Mike Gabler.
That's all it is. My Mike Gabler fan page that will still have Michelle fan material too. So it's great.
I will say, if it is a Gabler, Owen, Carla final three, the audience is going to be.
That's tough.
Like anybody could win here. They're going to look at that and say, well, I have. Wow, Jesse's out. Holy. I did not expect that. Blindside. What is going to happen now? Anything could happen. I think the most of the audience will think that this is wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I would love that. Jesse doesn't get there, it's wide open. But
I do think that the more we talk it out, I do feel even more confident about Cassidy at five because I think that Cassidy has the in-game argument to win in a final three with Gabler and in a final three with Owen and even Carla. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so having Carla there instead, to me, makes it more wide open from an in-game perspective when Carla is the one that has been weakened, not Cassidy.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I think Cassidy makes most sense, but I got her at number two because she's just going to win her way to Final Tribal and somehow not get votes once she gets there.
don't see how that, yeah.
As right. intended.
Well,
we all have different final threes, which I thought was really
that's fun.
Mine has one from each tribe,
which is how last season went, right? Yeah, because it was Romeo, Mary, and Mike. That'd be two seasons in a row.
Jesse on red, Carla on blue, and Gabler on yellow.
Yeah. So before we do go, though, I will say there have only been two perfect games in Survivor history. Two, because Jeremy got votes, but didn't, but they were negated by Idol. So he played a perfect game that, you know, has like a little asterisk next to it.
And Cochran, is that
the JT? Cochran and JT, that's it. Okay.
Yep.
Cochran and JT.
Adam Klein was close, but he got four votes against. Is that what my thing is telling me here?
That sounds about
six
right.
Votes against. You got six.
I got six.
Woof.
Wow, dude.
Ooh.
Out of the three survivors who received all jury votes, you received the most votes on your season where you got all the jury votes. So
that's a pretty effect.
As long as I don't go home, you put my name down as much as you want. it's all about surviving, baby.
That's it. That's the only thing that matters. But
and getting those votes at the end.
Well,
they're sitting right there.
Every one of them.
I know your head was in front of them. Your head was hiding all the good stuff.
I know, man. We got to work on your setup. We'll figure it out for you. Because if you sat like that the whole time, then we could see everything. But how would your neck feel?
Well, I can't give it all away the whole time, you know.
That's true.
Some cool.
What's the little note say?
That one's not from Survivor, but I like it. It is.
Is that just like a live, laugh, love thing?
It's Survivor. Yeah, it's like a live, laugh, love. It's exactly.
It's how I like play out last.
Life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain.
There you go.
Love that.
It's Survivor adjacent, right? It did rain on Winners at War. I love that they showed this. You know, you don't always get the moments shown on television that like you remember, but that aren't relevant to the story. And it really warmed my heart that when it rained at the merge of Winners at War, they showed everybody else whining and crying and me being like, what's up, guys? Like, we're on Survivor. Like, come on. This is fun. This is what we sign up for.
And this is why other winners are stopping going to Hearts of Reality, because they know when Adam's there, he's just going to be like, you guys cried about the rain. Remember that? You guys remember when you cried about the rain? He brings it up every chance he gets now.
Oh, my God. I sat next to Ethan at the autograph signing. And he was whining about how I screwed him over.
still whining
about that, but you know, like you got to move on, but you can't live in the past, buddy. You know, to ruin my childhood hero's dreams of like winning Survivor for a second time without even actually voting him out. Yeah.
And to simultaneously ruin the dreams of all of the fans who were at home, rooting the way you would have been.
Actively thanks. Cheering for me to be the one to go home.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Very selfish of you to go out there to win. That's really BS, man.
I was trying to win and, you know, wasn't trying to play Ethan's game. I had to play for me, but Ethan was going to be a part of my game, but he had to go and tell Parv and get himself voted out. So, you know, a little personal responsibility, Ethan. So
I like that this autograph signing for like Give Kids the World turned into Adam and Ethan in like a full blow.
Oh, we were bickering in front of people as they were coming through. It's great. And then of course Johnny Fairplay was teaming up against me because he was right there and he was like, yeah, you sucked, Adam. You were so stupid. You should have aligned with Parv.
That sounds like, about right.
In his whatever, his banana hammock that he was wearing. What the hell was he wearing?
Oh, my God. No. He was shitting on me so bad.
Oh, man. Well, you couldn't screw his game on Winners at War because he wasn't there.
What I told him. That's exactly what I said to Johnny Fairplay. I was like, hey, Johnny, if you learn to squat, if you could hold a squat for a little bit, maybe you would have been there. But no, Scoutmaster Lil beat you in a squatting competition. Come on.
You know? Oh, man. Johnny Fairplay. What a guy.
One squat away from $1 million and a two-time win on Winners at War.
That's all it took. Lil Morris prevented that alternate reality. But Alexa, take us home, because on the East Coast, Adam, some of us are at bedtime. Sure. You know, I know you're on the West Coast. You're loving life. I'm at bedtime.
Sure. School night for some. Thank you so much for coming on, Adam. This was the perfect timing to have you with your engagement, with your Cyber 6 week deal, with the finale. It's really, really exciting. It's really sad that this season is ending. We are not going to be live right after the episode on Wednesday. Strictly my fault. We are going to wake up nice and early and we're going to podcast at 9 a.m. Eastern time Thursday morning. Adam will be tuning in at 6 a.m. Thursday morning.
He won't be hungover Pacific time. From the night before at all.
Absolutely. Like with his coffee ready to rock and roll. We're going to watch Gabler sweep and have the third perfect game. So everyone make sure to tune into that. Become a $20 patron. Become any patron, but $20 is where you get the best bang for your buck. You can join our Discord server, which is probably going to be popping off Wednesday. A lot of good stuff coming ahead. We are probably not going to do our Patreon content until the week between Christmas and New Year's, if I could just be honest with us on that.
That's what we do.
Adam, thank you again for coming on. This was really great, and we're really excited to watch anybody win, but it sounds like Phil's ready to see Gabler win.
Yeah, Allie Gabler. All aboard, baby. All aboard.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo on that.